Welcome to Hacking Your ADHD. I'm your host, William Kerb, and I have ADHD. On this podcast, I dig into the tools, tactics, and best practices to help you work with your ADHD brain. Hey team, this week we're going to be discussing challenges of managing ADHD within a relationship where both partners have ADHD, and how that can lead to the amplification of symptoms and the struggle to maintain routines and tools. We'll also be diving into the potential difficulties of managing ADHD later in life, but also how we can lean into the strengths that we already have developed to really thrive with our ADHD. This is another listener question episode, and if you'd like to potentially have your question answered on the show, head over to hackingyouradhd.com/contact and click the orange button. If you'd like to follow along on the show notes page, you can find that at hackingyouradhd.com/178. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for the last 7 years I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. I've been asked before if AG1 is the real deal, and honestly, it's something that had already made it into my daily routine even before they became a sponsor of the podcast. This is because quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. And AG1 is easy. I can adjust it to fit into my schedule where it works best. And honestly, with my brain, lowering that bar to get started on a habit is one of the most important aspects. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because AG1 is NSF certified for sport, one of the most rigorous independent quality and safety certification programs in the supplement industry. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds, which is always important for me because it can be hard to get those healthy options in my diet every day. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high-quality product that easily has worked its way into my daily routine. So, if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/ADHD. That's drinkag1.com/ADHD. Check it out. If you'd like to follow along on the show notes page, you can find that at hackingyouradhd.com/177. I also wanted to let you know about the Hacking Your ADHD newsletter, Any and All Distractions. And that's what this newsletter is all about. The things that have caught my interest over the past week that I think also might be interesting to you. In it, I bring you the top things of the week that have caught my attention from the world of ADHD and beyond. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, keep on listening to find out how to teach an old dog new tricks.
Hi, William. I'm a huge fan of your podcast, and I've made huge strides in my ADHD management since I started listening to it a few years ago. So I want to thank you for all of your great work. I have a question about managing ADHD in a relationship where both partners have ADHD. Both my boyfriend and I have ADHD, and individually we manage relatively okay. But when we're together, we become more impulsive and spontaneous, and we forgo our routines and tools, and this amplifies both of our ADHD traits quite a lot. For example, I typically go to bed at a reasonable time, but I struggle with mornings. My boyfriend tends to stay up late, but he wakes up without a problem. So together, our pattern just gets worse in both directions. We go to sleep later and wake up later than either of us would on our own, which makes it harder to do anything the next day. And in general, when we're together, we have this sort of free-spirited abandon that lacks the reality checks that a non-ADHD partner or friend would naturally impose. And eventually it spirals into anxiety and disorganization for the both of us because we aren't using our tools that we've been using for a very long time. So I'm wondering how we can temper our impulsiveness, have some ways to check ourselves when we're getting carried away, and find a balance. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your question. This is actually something that I deal with myself, as my wife also has ADHD, and I get how the symptoms can often compound with each other. One of the things that we found helpful is working at keeping each other accountable, although always in a non-judgmental way. It starts with the acceptance that both of us have ADHD and that our ADHD can manifest in different ways. So it's never helpful to have stuff like, well, I can get out the door on time, and I also have ADHD. We're all going to struggle with different things, and it's important to acknowledge that just because we don't have a particular ADHD struggle, that doesn't mean our partner won't have it as well. And while it doesn't sound like you're dealing with that particular issue here, it's worth mentioning. So, with that said, it can be helpful to have your partner be able to remind you of the tools and tactics that can help you get through whatever it is you're going through. I think the bedtime example is great because it can be incredibly hard to get to bed on time, especially if you're doing something like binging a new show together. I know I've definitely had that issue where I know it's time to head upstairs and start getting ready for bed, but that last episode ended on a cliffhanger and my wife asks, well, should we do just one more? Like you, I'm the one more likely to be going to bed on time, while it's harder for my wife to stop whatever she's doing. But this is also something we've discussed, so my gently nudging at bedtime that it's time to start heading up to bed is generally fine. Although, strangely, the fact that I'm the one responsible for that leads me to be better at making sure when bedtime comes around and that we're following through on it. When it's just me by myself, I find it much harder to enforce that bedtime. If you can work on creating that kind of structure together, it makes it easier for both of you to follow through because it creates a shared accountability. But again, it needs to be something that you should decide on together, because otherwise it just becomes one partner nagging the other, which no one wants. Now, for staying on track with these things, we're going to want to be implementing a lot of our typical tools. Phone reminders are great here, and so are other visual reminders like whiteboards and calendars where you can both see what the plan is. This is also a great place to implement a system of checking in with each other to help assess how you're feeling and what each of your intentions are for the evening. One of the natural impulses that we have here is to try and lock things down. To create a mentality is that we're going to set this plan and keep to it no matter what. But this is a solution that is sure to backfire. We need flexibility in our plans because we know things are going to come up. For example, when I take my kids to an amusement park, I'm asking, what are the things that you absolutely want to do? And I really have to keep this to a one or two things, the must-dos. And then what are the things that would be fun to do, but if we don't get to do them, it's okay? And what are the things that we don't care about doing? It's important to know these things when I'm creating this plan of what we're going to do, and we can do this when we're planning with other people as well. With this information, we can create a plan of what we want to do, but we don't have to create a strict outline of what's going to happen. With both partners having ADHD, it's better to create a loose outline, the guidance of a plan, so that you have a sense of what you want to do, but the flexibility to follow things that are of interest to you at the time. It's important to be setting realistic expectations for each other as well as realistic expectations of what's going to be like when you're there together. And you certainly don't want to be stifling the fun part of your relationship and killing the impulsivity. Finally, I want to go back to this idea of creating check-ins, because this is something that you can do throughout the day. Maybe just have a reminder on your phone that goes off every few hours asking for a check-in, where you can ask your partner if you're both doing what you want to be doing. Or maybe it goes off on their phone and they can check in with you. And we can expand that to having regular check-ins throughout the week to discuss what's working and what isn't. It all comes down to clear communication and making sure that you and your partner are on the same page. All right, I hope that helps, and thanks again for the question.
Hi, William. My name is Bobby. I'm 67, and I've just about 3 months ago was diagnosed with ADHD, which explains a lot over my life. Even when I was 4 or 5 years old that I can remember, I really, really enjoy your podcast. It seems to be the best one I've found. I've found several, but they just kind of seem to be junk. And you have ADHD, and the things that you say just really hit home with me at 67 years old. All these things, I've dealt with this, and I've find ways to compensate. So now, how much better can I get at this age? Is that going to be a lot harder than when you're younger and then you can kind of start building new habits? Or is it like, can't teach an old dog new tricks? That's all I had. Thank you, and keep on.
Hey, Bobby, thanks for the question. As you said, getting that diagnosis makes you look back and go, oh, well, that explains a lot. And I imagine at 67, there's even more of that than I experienced. So to just answer your main concern off the bat, yeah, even at 67, there is a lot of room to grow with your ADHD. So congratulations on that diagnosis, because it means there are a lot of things that you can start working on. As you've mentioned, you've already developed a lot of coping mechanisms for your ADHD. I mean, you'd have to. But it's also important we look at what these coping mechanisms are compensating for and how they're doing it. One issue that can crop up with coping mechanisms that naturally develop is that while they do tend to solve a problem, they don't always do so in healthy ways. For example, to compensate for how late I tended to be, I've overcorrected into developing anxiety over the amount of time I have left in a task. While it does help keep me from being late, it also isn't a great way to work when I'm checking the clock every few minutes to make sure that I'm not losing track of time. When I can just set a timer for when I need to start transitioning to the next task, I have less anxiety and I can better focus on the tasks that I'm currently doing. Of course, not all of the strategies we developed are going to be maladaptive. I've used body doubling techniques to get things done for years before I had my diagnosis, so it's important to try and figure out which of these coping mechanisms are actually working with your ADHD and which ones are working despite your ADHD, and to also work on trying to identify the maladaptive ones. You also had the question of whether or not this process would be harder for you than someone getting a diagnosis at a younger age, and that's a tricky question to answer. I feel like there are absolutely going to be some aspects that are easier and some that are going to be harder. At 67, I imagine there's a lot more freedom in your life to pursue some of these things because you aren't also going to be juggling school, and I'm assuming you also don't have young children to take care of. So there will be some flexibility in how you can pursue building new habits. But, of course, having that freedom can also be a bane for ADHD. Because while the structure of school can be hard with ADHD, it does give structure to your day, which can also be helpful. Funny how that works, huh? So, it won't be clear-cut easier or harder, but it certainly will be different. But what won't be different are some of the areas that are important to focus on in your ADHD management. And in particular, I think the most important one after diagnosis is acceptance of your ADHD. While it's easy to go, well, yeah, I have ADHD, the acceptance piece is about understanding where our strengths and limitations lie. I still have days where I question why certain tasks are so hard for me. And then when I think about it for a minute, the light bulb goes off and I remember, oh, that's my ADHD that's making things so hard. And that if I want to do that thing, I'm going to have to attack the problem with my ADHD in mind. What's going to be important here is setting realistic goals and giving yourself a lot of self-compassion. You've had 67 years of looking at yourself one way, and while the diagnosis helps put things into perspective, it's also going to take some time to get used to. It sounds like you're already on the right path by looking for resources and finding ways to utilize new tools. All right, hope this helps. Thanks for the question. Thanks for sticking with me all the way to the end. And remember, if you've got a question, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/contact and click the orange button. But before you go, let's do a quick rundown of today's top tips. 1. In relationships, clear communication is key, and it's important to foster accountability while making sure that we're also trying to stay out of judgment. 2. Work to find a balance between structure and flexibility in daily routines, and make sure that you're still creating room for accepting your ADHD and your partner's. 3. When examining your previously created coping strategies, be sure to explore how you developed them and figure out if they're still helping you or if they need to be adjusted. I also wanted to remind you about my newsletter, Any and All Distractions, where I bring you the top things of the week that have caught my attention from the world of ADHD and beyond. If that sounds like something you'd like in your inbox, just head over to hackingyouradhd.com/newsletter and sign up. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear what you thought of this episode. Feel free to connect with me over at hackingyouradhd.com/contact. If you'd like links or to read this episode's transcript, you can go to the show notes page at hackingyouradhd.com/148. If you'd like to support the show, the best way to do so is to tell somebody about the show, especially if you think they'd like a particular episode. Just click the share button on your podcast player and send it over to them. And now for your moment of dad. What planet is like a circus? Saturn. It's got three rings.